All right, so if you have your Bibles, you gotta have bad sometimes.
Good job, Pastor.
Well, I'm glad you preached that.
I do. Please open up your Bibles again, Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th verse, if you don't mind, please standing with me. We're going to read verses 18 through 24. All right. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee thy wife, Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. This message was given by you, Lord. Let it be delivered by you as well, Lord. That you take me out of the equation, Lord, and whatever you need your people to hear, Lord, that is the message they receive, Lord. We ask that every heart and mind right now is upon you, Lord, that there are no distractions, that we focus on you because we know we can do all things through you, Lord. Lord, as this message comes forth, Lord, and for any need in the room, Lord, whether it's healing, whether it's physical, financial, Lord, help this message, Lord, be of importance to somebody, Lord, that it guides them, Lord. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The title of this message is, "Don't Tell Me About the Labor Pains, Show Me the Baby." Right? So, don't tell me about the labor pains, show me the baby. See, the funny part is, I think, you know, in life, we spend too much time thinking about the things that God has put in our heart. We spend too much time thinking about the reasons why we can't get something done instead of the reasons why we can. Give you an example. We start thinking about, well, I'm too old, or I'm too tired, or I'm too young, or I don't know what I'm doing. And I think, you know what, instead of giving God his due and believing he can do all things, we spend so much time worried about the problem. You know, so listen, this, and part of why I was singing, I didn't tell some, but part of why I was singing is because, you know what, when God put the song on my heart, I was choosing between a couple, and when God put it on my heart, I gave every reason why in the world somebody else should sing and not me. I'm like, God, I can't sing. What are you talking about? You know, it's not a good idea. You know, and I spent all of the time focusing on why it wasn't a good job, why I couldn't do a good job, and instead of giving God his due, saying, God, look, you're on high.
Come on now.
Right?
Come
I should be now. Giving you praise anyway. The fact that I can talk is a sheer blessing.
Hello.
Right? And whether it's on key or not, that's all right. God is still to you.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So I think we spend too much time focused on all of the problems. So let's go into the verse. So we're going to start with verse 18, and we're going to take it, you know, a little bit at a time. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ." Now, that "now" really stuck out to me, because as I was reading, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ." Because if you look at verses 2 through 16, it really talks about the lineage of Joseph and how his family line coming on. And it talked about great men of God in verses 2 through 16. And then I really believe in verse 18 is saying, like, "and now." Like, in spite of all of that, all of these great things that men have done and throughout the history, there's a difference now. It's the main event now. I don't know if you've ever watched boxing or something, and you see the announcing, and you're like, "and now, introducing," because guess what? While David did great things, and all of these people and all of these verses did awesome things for God, it's about to be a difference.
It says,
"Now the birth of Jesus Christ."
Uh-huh. Right?
And then it goes, says, "was on this wise." What that means is it's not by the ordinary course of nature.
Come on now.
Right. See, everything you saw in history and all these people in verses 2 through 16, they were born by the ordinary course of nature. But now it was time for Jesus to be born, and it was going to be different. You know, and it's just like those dreams that we have and those goals that we have in our life, because sometimes we can only see the ordinary course, and we can't see the course that God can do, so then we start thinking we can't do it, and we start talking about all the labor pains.
Amen.
You know, I was in this church, and I had, in 2008, and I wasn't coming regularly, and I was here, and there was a prophet, and this prophet said to me, and I can't remember who it was, he said, "You're going to get a new house and a new car." And I said, "My credit got bullet holes. Are you kidding me? I owed everybody money, and guess what? I ain't had no money." I never had a new car at that point in my life, right? And I definitely ain't had no money to do it, and I owed everybody, right? So I knew that if it was going to be done, it was going to have to be by not an ordinary course of nature, right? It was going to have to be a difference, right? Because that prophecy was going to come true. But I said, you know what, God? If you say it, I'll believe it, and I'll do it. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, our economy, you know, took a tank in 2009. It was hard for people. It really was, right? And, you know, I have champagne taste, but I had root beer pocketbook. I tell you what, my mom used to tell me all the time. So I knew, like, I didn't want just a house. I'm like, look, I wanted to have certain things, you know, like, you know, my mother had never owned a house growing up, and most people in my family had owned a house. When this prophecy happened, you know, I was believing and trusting God, but I knew I had certain tastes. And the certain tastes, my price range, it was out there. And I had no way to see how it'd be done. And unfortunately, the economy did do well. But during that time, God actually brought the price of the house that I was looking at down to my budget.
Come on now.
You know, it wasn't by the ordinary course of nature. God brought the house down to my budget.
Yeah.
And you know what? In this verse, it's saying, you know, it was, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And, you know, it's not ordinary. And I don't know why that we think that we need to have things in the ordinary course.
Come on now.
We like, well, you know, I got this job, and, you know, I'm reminded of the movie Coming to America. He said, 2 years, I'll be on fries, you know. And he gets excited about working through it 2 years. God can snap in an instant.
Yeah.
Right. It don't have to be in how we think it should be done. Right?
Amen.
I think that's important for us to realize. Now, as we read further, it says, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. So let me set the stage for you. Mary was to deliver the Messiah. Right? She had no husband. Essentially, she was engaged to Joseph. I'll just make it easier. Essentially, she was engaged to Joseph at this time. And she was a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
How is that supposed to happen? Right? How in the world is supposed to, God, I got no husband, and I haven't had sex, and I'm going to deliver the Messiah. You know, the difference is we keep reading, though, it says, you know, was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with the child of the Holy Ghost, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really from the power from on high. Is what that's really saying, right? See, I think we get caught up in all of our labor pains and all of our strength, and guess what? The Messiah was coming by not some ordinary course of nature, but it was from the power from on high that was able to make this happen. The power from on high, that same power from on high,
come on now,
cares about your life.
Come on now.
It cares about every situation and circumstance that you have. Right? So we need to turn our attention and direct our attention to the power from on high, because God will bless us
in our
time of need.
Amen.
Now let's go down to verse 19, right? Because it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. So it wasn't her husband at the time. They were still engaged. So don't be thrown off by the word. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Right? So really, what that's saying is, this is her fiance, and he's being a just man. He's like an obeyer of the law.
Come
Come on, so now. He wants to do things the right way.
Yeah.
So she is with someone. You know, I can't imagine, and I was thinking about this. It can only be God. Because I don't know. Think about you in this situation. You with somebody, and they're like, look, God did this. I don't have this. Well, I tell you what, it's gonna take a miracle. Right? I'm telling you, it is. Her husband's a just man, and he's an obeyer of the law. And the funny part is, he goes, you know, it says in verse 19, and he wasn't willing to make her a public example. Because at the time, the stakes were high. I want you to realize, if he had come out and said, I don't want this marriage, she was going to be stoned to death.
Uh-huh.
Right? That was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, she's delivering the Messiah. So think about this. She's delivering the Messiah. Think about how much easier God could have made this for her. God could have put her in a Hilton somewhere, right, and hooked her up with somebody and made everybody see things. But, you know, when you're going to deliver the Messiah, right, things are going to happen sometimes.
Come on now.
All right, right.
And if you're going to deliver on the dream that you have, sometimes things are going to happen.
Right,
it's
right.
Not just going to be easy for you all the time like you want it to be, right? It's not just going to be, you know, nice and easy, because God could have made this real simple.
Right?
He could have said, you know what, ain't no problem. We're going to find you a nice little place, and we're going to have you do your thing. I'm going to give you somebody, and understand that you could be married at the time, so people won't be looking at you funny. You know, I can still do this, but you can be married and all this kind of stuff. But God's and his power and his infinite wisdom, he knew that this was the right way to do things, just like he knows it's the right way to do things in your life.
Right,
so whatever you're going through, just know God understands. Man. See, I think a lot of times where we get so caught up and we start to think we're not worthy and all that other kind of stuff, it doesn't mean that you don't have to change your life, because we should be changing our life and looking for God. But God cares about our situations and circumstances, and it's not always going to be easy, because you're delivering the Messiah, and you know what? It wasn't easy. And the back part of this verse, it says, he was minded to put her away privately. So he made up in his mind is what that means. He's going to separate from her. Look, and I was reading this and I was like, hey man, I get it. I get it. For sure. Right? She's carrying the Messiah, and the person she with, he's all set. He's like, look, I'm good. Right? You know? And I think that we have to make sure we keep our eyes on the promise, mm-hmm. right? Because, yeah. You know, Matthew doesn't go into it. Luke expounds on pre-delivery a little bit more, right? Matthew doesn't deliver how Luke tells, because Mary had some questions. She said, God, I don't have any, I'm a virgin, and I don't have a husband, and all this kind of, these reasons why this was going to be tough for her. Right, she did, but you just don't see it in Matthew's version of this. But she trusted God. We have to get our faith out of man.
Right?
We have to keep our eyes on the promise. I don't care how far out it is. I don't care how crazy it is. God can do it. We have to believe it. Right? Because God can do this. If God can do this, he can do anything. Right?
Amen.
You know, if this reminded me about a time at work. See, you know, at work, I really thought in order for my career to blossom, people were going to have to like me. You know, and I don't do well at like kissing up. That's just not saying it. I just feel funny, right? I don't do well, right? So I said to myself, like, look, well, my career, it is what it is. If growing my career means kissing up, I'm good, right? It ain't got to be, right? I'm good. But, you know, the crazy part is, you know, I was thinking about, and it didn't have anything to do with faith in God. I'm going to keep it real with you. It was just like, I'm good, whatever, right? But I still thought that man would control the elevation of my career.
Come on now.
Right? And then the company did something funny. It did something they had never done before. My boss, it moved him from Michigan to Arizona. Right? The company had never done this before. The company, I remember the chief sales guy's company came in on a Thursday, and by Monday, my boss was gone. Right? So if I had spent time kissing up, it wouldn't have done me any good at that time.
Right,
it would have done nothing. Right. He'd have been gone, and I'd have been sitting there wondering who's the next person I can hire up to. You know, so we, you know, and I ask you, how is man impacting your world? How is the things that you can see and feel, how is it impacting you? Right, because I know sometimes we look with things in our eyes and we think it can only be a certain thing, but God can do all things, and we have to remember that, and we have to get our faith out of man, right? Because as we see, if man had his own way, man is out, right? Like man, he was out. He made up his mind that he's done. So now we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. It says, we're going to read the first half of 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. We have to give God time to answer.
Right? We have to give God time to answer.
See, we pray, and then we're like, let's figure it out. How am I going to do this?
He had made up his mind,
but he still waited. Right?
Yeah.
And the text says, but while he thought on these things. See, we're ready to jump right into action.
Come on now.
We're like, look.
Come on now.
Something about to happen. God, I want a new house. Okay. Yep. I rent something then. It starts off, I want to buy a house.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I look at my bank account. I don't got no money. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay. Well, I'm going to rent something. I'm getting out of here. We don't give God time to answer.
Come on now.
Right? We have to start doing that. Right?
Man.
It is extremely important. And, you know, if you look at the middle part, that it says, Saint Joseph. It said, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. See, God sometimes has to remind us of who we are. God has to sometimes do that because, you know, he said, Joseph, thou son of David. So before he said anything, God reminded Joseph who he was. Because Joseph could have looked at his circumstance and he could have said, man, look, I got this woman. She already doing some things and all this other kind of good stuff. And I don't like my job and I don't like how things are going for him. He had to remind him who he was. Right? Whatever your last name is, it might be Keys or it could be Green or whatever. Sometimes God has to remind you who you are. That last name means something. Right? You know what? It's got to mean something. So God reminded David who he is. And the funny part is, if you think about like college admission, I do a lot of reading and I like to read stuff about business. You know, it is easier for you to get into Harvard if your parents went there. Did you know that? So part of the admission process to most colleges, if you went there, if your parents went there, it's a lot easier to get there, to get into college. Now, that's not the only factor. As I was reading, a Harvard admission officer, you know what he called your parents attending the college? He said, it can cure the sick, but it can't raise the dead, right? Now, that's just like your lineage, right? The crazy part is, because if Joseph, God reminded him who he was.
Now,
he's going to cure the sick, but if Joseph, just like we have free will, if Joseph decides he don't want to do nothing, guess what? God will find a way. You might not be the way he used it, but God going to find a way because he's going to get his anyway.
Come on now.
That lineage, while it might be important, because I think sometimes it is nice to be reminded who we are, but we still have to take action.
Come on now.
We still have to listen. So it says, you know, I'll read the back half of 20 and then on to 21. It says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which she is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. See, God will guide us in our time of need, like he did here with Joseph, right? He absolutely came through. After reminding Joseph who he was, then he told him the plan, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, see, sometimes the right thing to do seems obvious to us.
Mm-hmm.
But God has a different plan. Because the obvious thing is for Joseph to just be out. Right? All of the situations and circumstances. And for you, the way your situation might be, it might be like, man, I'm out. It ain't happening. it ain't good, and whatever. If we slow down enough to let God in and guide us, the plan will unfold.
Come on now.
Because if God made you a promise, He's going to deliver on a promise.
Amen.
If
Amen.
You do your part.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
I'm often reminded. I was just at the pastor's office, and I told them I saw on his in his office was a can of WD-40, right? And I cut can of WD-40, and I had this as part of the message because you know what WD-40 stands for. You know they made a product, and you know I'm not very handy at all, but I can spray something, right? That's, you know WD-40. We're gonna put some WD-40 on it and let it go, right? You know. I don't care what it is. It don't matter. I'm here to spray something. Right? And with WD-40, the name stands for water displacement 40th attempt. Right? It took 40 times to get it right. In your life, you might be on time 36 and ready to give up.
Come on now.
You might be on time 38 and ready to give up. But if God put a promise in your heart, we have to keep going and deliver. Because guess what?
Yes, sir.
The 40th attempt, all of a sudden it happens. And sometimes it's attempt 44 or 48 and whatever. But God can do it.
Yes.
It's not
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, yes.
You don't have to worry
Amen.
About it.
Amen.
You just have to keep doing what you have to do. Right? You have to keep doing it. You got to be in the right mindset to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right? Because I tell you what, I think it's the greatest miracle in the Bible. Right?
Amen.
Because you take and Jesus is being born in itself is a miracle, but to take, if I'm thinking about it with my own mind, to take a man, even though he was a just man, and to let God speak to him and let this plan unfold without him getting all in the way, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
That is a miracle. Yeah, I'm talking all this stuff. Because imagine your friends, right? Some of us do. We start talking to our friends. Imagine Joseph telling his boys, yeah, man, this is the thing. Man, please. They gonna get him examined. Like, you're crazy. Right? And that's why it's important that we listen to God and not, you know, ringing up the telephone. See, I wonder if this could have happened in this day. Right? I wonder if it could. I know God can do all things, but will somebody be quiet enough to let God do His work and not be worried about it, putting it on Facebook and talking to your girlfriend and get some advice from somewhere else, right? You know? I thank God that He moved in this situation because, you know, even though if it's something, especially if it's rooted in God, if it's something that's important and we think God can make it easy, it don't always have to be easy, but it'll be worth it.
Amen.
Right? I think we have Amen. To remember that. It's not always going to be easy, but it will be worth it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now let's look at verse 22 as we go back to the text. It says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying. So I want you to make sure. See, after God broke it down for him, he's giving him the big picture. He's understanding the why behind what was happening. Right? God in verse 22 says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Mm-hmm. So this prophecy was back in Isaiah chapter 7.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
This was a prophecy. And think about, you know, as I was reading up on what was the length of time, the estimation I saw was 640 years of time that had passed since that. God's still going to deliver. It feels like a long time in our lives sometimes. That thing we're waiting on. That thing we're believing God. Or we've been waiting on that healing. We've been waiting on whatever it is. We've been waiting on our finances to get right. It feels like a long time. I can assure you it hasn't been 640 years though. Right? You know, we have to let God do His work. You know, and it's funny because I think we need to focus and, you know, what's important to you. I just been thought about my seventh grade teacher. I had a teacher in seventh grade. His name was Mr. Brown, right? Mr. Brown, if I can just be honest with you, he wasn't a very good teacher, right? Mr. Brown wasn't a very good teacher. But what Mr. Brown cared about, it was on. So let me tell you what Mr. Brown cared about. This is what I learned in seventh grade. He would take us out of the classroom, and we would get in the hallway, right? I had this guy for 3 hours. So he would sleep the first 2 hours, right? And then the third hour, he would get up, at the end of the day, he would take, and he would say, girls on this side, and guys on this side. Is I want you straight, and I want you lined up by height. So we would get in the hallway, and then we would march down the hall like soldiers, and he would say, merge, people! And then we would merge, so it's guy, girl, in the thing, right? So now, you know, so Mr. Brown had us merging, and we were good at merging. You know, we couldn't tell you what 2 + 2 was, but we could merge, because Mr. Brown found that important, right? Now, you might say, well, why does your 7th grade teacher, and guess what, if it wasn't boy, girl, he was going to say, well, you sit out. Right, you sit out because it's got to be boy, girl. If it's too many boys at the end of the line, no, that's messing our thing up. So you just go wait in the classroom, right? We're going to do this thing. So you might say, well, what does this have to do with this message? The reason why I tell you is that was what Mr. Brown was focused on and we were good at it, right? But some of you are like Mr. Brown and you're focusing on the wrong thing.
Okay, right?
See, I focus on the wrong thing too, so this is a message for me, but I think that we focus on the wrong thing because merging in the grand scheme of things wasn't very important. And I think sometimes we put our things in our mind on things that are not very important. We start worrying about the small stuff.
All right?
And we start worrying about all these little things. Man, God can do whatever. And we worry about $3. Right? We worried about, man, some change. God can do all of that. You don't know. God, you can walk outside right now and somebody can come up to you and just give you an envelope. Right? But we start worried about, well, what am I going to do? I mean, we miss our blessings because we so worried about how we're going to do it and how it's going to get done and what they're going to say and what they're going to do. I think we got to be less like Mr. Brown and more like what God wants us to be. Right? You know, I also, when I was reading verse 22, and the thing that God, you know, kind of talked to me about, I just wonder, what are the things and the dreams that we've actually forgotten about, right? We cast some of them in. You got a prophecy, you know, 22 years ago that something's going to happen. Some of us, we done cast that in. We like, it ain't happening. We good. What are the things that God said he was going to do? We need to bring those things to the forefront of our mind. We got to give God a chance to show out.
Right.
God will show out now.
Yes, he is.
We have to give him a chance to show out. But we don't. You know what we do? We say, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. And we don't take any action in order to get things. All we talk about is labor pain. Oh, 12 hours it came. Oh, boy, and I tell you, my feet swelled up, and my head did this, and all this other kind of good stuff. Where is the baby? Where is that? Right? We have to get our mind on the thing that's important. Right? So, verse 23, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. See, that this refers back to Isaiah 7:14. Mm-hmm. Don't be confused because it says Emmanuel. Emmanuel is more descriptive, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus is more proper, right? So back in Isaiah, it was saying that was what the meaning. We're going to say Emmanuel interpreted being God with us. Like, we're going to name him Emmanuel, and people are going to have that feeling of God with us. Right? That's important for you to understand that because God can do all things. He didn't forget about the prophecy from 640 years ago. He hasn't forgotten about your situation.
Come on, right? Amen.
And our last verse here says, then Joseph raised from sleep. I think we need to wake up.
Come on now.
Right? Some of us still sleeping. Right? Some of us still sleeping. We have to wake up. Right? We have to wake up and join what's actually happening. Right? And you know, God can move if we give him that opportunity. It says, and then he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He listened to God. Are you listening to God? Right? Are you listening to God? Are you doing the thing that you know is that thing that you know is not right, or you're trying to fix it yourself and not letting God work the situation out? not letting him work the situation out. Now, you know, I'm going to leave you with this. You know, and it's a story. I told you I read a lot of business books, and it's a story of a lady named Sarah Blakely. Sarah Blakely was on her way to a meeting, and her pantyhose was ripped, right? She was thinking, like, man, there's got to be a better way for things to happen. So they ripped at the bottom, and you know what she did? She cut the bottom of the pantyhose, right? And she was like, wow, why aren't more pantyhose like this? Now, she had in the bank $5,000, right? You might say, wow, that's a lot of money not to bring a product to market. She figured out, as she did some research, that it was going to cost $5,000 just to get a patent. So she had this idea that she thought that could change the world, because it was gonna help. It's called Spanx. I know some of you women may have heard of Spanx. It's supposed to shape you up, and they cut the pantyhose out of the bottom and give you some more flexibility. I don't know nothing about this. I'm just reading now. And the reason why, you know, she had all kind of labor pains in order to be able to deliver this to the market. All kind of things came up against her. Men thought it was a terrible idea. She had to deal with all men going through it. They all thought this was a bad idea and all that kind of good stuff. And she ended up, and God blessed her. And now she, look, I know it's not about the money, but now this lady is a billionaire. And she had $5,000 bringing the product to market. Now you say, why does she love God? I don't know, but what I do know is God loves her. Right? Just like he loves you. Right? God loves her.
Amen. Amen.
Just like he loves you.
Amen.
So we have to believe that God can do anything in our lives.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And please hold on to the promises of God and stop worrying about the labor pains and just show the baby. Let's give God some
praise. Amen.
Now we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. We're going to do something just a little bit different tonight. Because I really want you to think about if God has put a promise in your heart, right, and that you've kind of been thinking in your own strength, or you have not listened to God all the way, or you've been worried about it or forgotten about it, and you want God to kind of help that promise, I want you to come down front and stand with us just so we can pray together. We're going to pray together and hold hands. Now, if that thing is not a thing for you, don't worry about it. Stay in your seat. But if it's a thing that you want to, that promise to come back, right, and that you want to stop worrying about the labor pains and give God a chance to operate, I want you to come down here. We're going to hold hands together, and we're going to pray about it. I believe God can do it all. Hands. There's something about that touch of a neighbor, right? There's something about that touch of a neighbor. We're going to touch and pray and agree on this thing. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, Lord. Your people have come down front, Lord, to recognize you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Lord. They know that there's promises that have been in their life that they're going to turn over to you, Lord. We're going to believe now together whatever it is that you said that you were going to do, Lord, that you're going to do it. No matter if it's the situation seems far out in our mind, Lord. No matter if it's been something 20, 30, 40 years ago, Lord. For the promise, Lord. Lord, as we bind here together, Lord, I'm asking that we impart strength into each other, Lord, that you use us, that you use this touch, Lord, to really shape minds, Lord, and get the focus back on you, Lord. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory, because we know we can do all things through you, Lord. And we know sometimes that we get in our own way, Lord. We're going to ask that you help us, Lord, think about you and give you a chance to act on our behalf. Lord, we turn it over to you. We love you. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.